So tonight we're going to take up a koan from the Hekigan Roku. And this is a rather famous koan. It's quite well known in Zen literature. And I'll read you the case. We'll start with the case, and then I will also add in the introduction and the verse at some point. But let's start with the case. So this is case number 53. And the title is Hyakujo and a Wild Duck. So the main subject goes like this. When Baso was out walking with Hyakujo, he saw a wild duck fly past. Baso said, "What is it?" Hyakujo, who was his student, said, "It's a wild duck." Baso said, "Where is it?" Hyakujo said, "It has flown away." Baso at last gave Hyakujo's nose a sharp pinch. Hyakujo cried out with pain. Baso said, "There, how can it fly away?" So, I'm going to read you the introduction now. Now that we know what the case deals with. So it's a master and a student out for a walk. And the master asks a question. Student gives a very reasonable answer. Master asks another question. And the student gives another apparently reasonable answer. And then something occurs. So the master grabs the student's nose and gives it a twist, tweaks his nose. This is actually the first documented episode of a teacher using some physical painful means in teaching a student. Perhaps it happened before, but this is the first koan to ever bring this out at this early time. These were Tang Dynasty characters. So the teacher makes a point using this very extreme measure. So I'll read you Engo's introduction. So the introduction goes like this. The universe is not veiled. All its activities lie open. Whichever way he may go, he meets no obstruction. At all times he behaves independently. His every word is devoid of egocentricity, yet still has the power to kill others. Tell me, where did the ancient worthy come to rest? See the following. So Engo here is setting this up. He's saying that the universe is not veiled. What does that mean, not veiled? Well, it could mean that the universe is what you actually know. That's the real universe. How could it be veiled? You have to know it. It has to be an experience, not just an idea. And anything that may come along, if it's real, it can't be veiled. It's immediately obvious. All activities lie open. This is the same thing with any activity that we might take, any changes occurring in our environment. They're only real if we know them, if we experience them. This is the meaning of reality. Reality is what is real, and what is real is what we experience in Zen. Now, reality might have other meanings in philosophy and science and may take the form of certain principles, but we're not talking about that level of intellectual application, which is important, but it's not what we're practicing here. It's not the point of what we're doing. And then it says here, at all times he behaves independently. Now, just to put this in the context of the koan, we don't know what this he is that Ingo is referring to. But he says, at all times he behaves independently. His every word is devoid of egocentricity, yet he still has the power to kill others. So you have to understand what kill means in this context. To kill others is to kill the idea of others. To kill, to actually remove the concept that there's something outside, something standing apart, something standing outside you. So even though you are not adhering to an entity, a self with a name and characteristics, in that state, you can still kill others. You kill the notion of others. Then what is this he that is doing this? He says, tell me, where did the ancient worthies come to rest? Where did the ancient practitioners, the whole lineage from the time of the Buddha until the time of the Tang Dynasty, which included all the six Zen patriarchs, where did they come to rest? What was their fundamental ground? What was their set point? What was their balance point? Where did they come to rest? So then the main subject comes up. Now, to understand this better, we have to step back a little bit and make some comments about the interaction between this master Basso and the student Yakujo. Yakujo, incidentally, became a very famous master of his own. He had many, many enlightened students, and so did Basso. Basso was a very tall, imposing, and vigorous Zen master. He was the first one that really embodied the Rinzai style of this very aggressive, intense, grabbing hold of whatever it was that needed to be explained and using it, wielding it. So this is this kind of fierce Zen spirit that Basso embodied. Now, when Basso and Hyakujo were walking, this was not downtime. Hyakujo might have made the mistake here of thinking that Basso was making some idle chatter. I mean, obviously, Basso would know what a wild duck is. You could see it flying away and hear it calling out. So he just answered him straight. And is that bad? So Basso said, what is it? Hyakujo said, it's a wild duck. He wasn't wrong. That's what it was. It's okay. Basso didn't seem to react to that. He asked a little bit different question. Where is it? At this point, Hyakujo should have known that something was up. This was not going to be an ordinary interchange. This was not idle chatter. And Hyakujo stayed on topic, so to speak. He stayed in character. He said, it has flown away. And at this, Basso did something to demonstrate something to Hyakujo, to show Hyakujo directly, without any words, without any concepts, what he really meant. So he grabbed his nose and he twisted it, and it hurt. And Basso said, there, how can it fly away? So now we begin to peer a little deeper into this story. What is this it? So Basso said, what is it? Then he asked, where is it? Then he said, how can it fly away? What is this it? This is a simple two-letter word that is used frequently in the Zen koan. So what is it that tweaking Hyakujo's nose showed it clearly. Where a duck going, ah, 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 whatever, quack, quack, flying away, flapping its wings suddenly. You ever walk in the woods and you suddenly happen upon a large bird that suddenly flies away and it scares you? You hear it all at once. Before you name it, before you have an idea of what's going on, there's an immediate experience. There's an immediate reaction in the body-mind. So what is this it? So what Basso is doing here is he's showing Hyakujo, first of all, that when you are a Zen practitioner, you are always attentive. You are always mindful. Every action is your practice. Every step in the woods is your practice. Everything you see, everything you hear is shining a light on your practice. There's no downtime. There's no idleness here. But what is he also doing? He's utilizing a real, actual, momentary experience to show something fundamental, something absolute. He refers to it here as it. Hyakujo doesn't quite clearly see this. He's caught up in names, descriptions, memory of something that was there and now is not there, and he's missing this it. What is this it? So, to give you an example, I was a college student many, many years ago, and I learned how to become a projectionist, movie projectionist. My uncle was a projectionist, and throughout my childhood, I used to go to the movies in Wellesley, and he was the projectionist there, and I would wave at him behind the window, and then when I got old enough, he taught me to be a projectionist. So one summer, it was between years in college, I got a job in a movie theater in Boston. And we were showing this movie, Lawrence of Arabia. And I remember it was a very long movie. It was about 3 hours. As I recall, it was 7 reels. So the way it worked as a projectionist, you would set up your projector, you'd have a reel loaded in, you had to thread it through and get it going, and then when the reel was close to running out, a little bell would ding. It was something mechanical on the wheel that actually hit a lever. It was kind of a Rube Goldberg contraption that would ding a little bell, and that would warn you that you had about a minute or two before the changeover went. Now, you had already set up the second projector, so you were ready to hit a switch. It was a little switch that you either used your hand or your foot on a pedal to make the switch from one projector to the other projector. So you'd hear the ding, and then you'd look through your little window. The reason the window was there was so the projectionist could look through the window and look for a little mark that the average person would never notice. It's a little mark that you yourself would make with a tool. You'd count back a certain number of frames and make the mark, and when you saw that mark, that's when you hit the switch, and it would make a very smooth transition from one reel to the next reel. Then your job was to rewind the reel that just got used up and load a new reel on so you could switch back that way. Now, I had to do this for 7 reels. This was a long movie, and it was at times easy to get distracted, particularly if your girlfriend came up to visit you in the projection booth. So I could imagine that the people in the theater watching Lawrence of Arabia, which is a very engrossing movie, were extremely upset when I didn't hear the sound of the bell. I was distracted, and all of a sudden the reel ran out and I hadn't hit the button. So they were perhaps watching Lawrence riding on a camel, running through the desert under the broiling hot sun and music and sound and excitement, and then all of a sudden there's just a blank, bright screen. Well, I knew that happened because I started hearing people booing, and I said, oh my God, I missed the reel. So why am I telling you this story? When everybody was watching this movie, they were very engrossed in it. They were watching these events, and they were following them and getting drawn into them. It became their reality. But one thing they never noticed, and you're not supposed to notice it in a movie theater, is the screen. The screen is not noticed. The screen is there all the time. It's always there. When you're watching the movie, the screen is there. You're actually seeing a screen with different colors reflecting off of it. But you get engrossed in the movie and you forget all about the screen. And that's fine, that's good, that's wonderful. You don't want to see the screen. But there it was, the screen appeared. So coming back to this koan now, there was something going on. There was a duck that suddenly got stirred up when Basso and Hyakujo walked by and jumped into the air and flapped its wings and probably gave several loud quacks and flew away. So Hyakujo is in the movie, let's say. He's watching this movie. He's commenting on it. Oh, it's a duck. It's a wild duck. And it flew away. And Basso is pointing out the screen. He's saying, don't forget, even though there's a duck, even though it surprised us, even though things happened, it quacked, it flapped its wings, and then it was gone. There's something that it was always there. Now, this is very important for Zen practice. What our task is in Zen practice is to get what that is, to understand what that screen is, and to see it in and through the events that are occurring. So unlike a movie where you would get caught up in the movie, you'd get caught up in the drama, you'd be crying tears, you'd be lost in this complicated story, the Zen student also maintains an awareness of something behind, something that is constant, something that doesn't change, something that is absolutely intimate. And this enables what is very important in Buddhism in general, which is non-attachment, that we can flow naturally, we can let things go, we can let them fly away, we can let them appear, but we know that there's something absolute, continuous, constant, behind, so to speak, or within or melted into the world that we are experiencing. So let me read this introduction one more time. The universe is not veiled. All its activities lie open. Whichever way he may go, he meets no obstruction. At all times, he behaves independently. His every word is devoid of egocentricity, yet still has the power to kill the movie. See that it's just a movie. Tell me, where did the ancient worthies come to rest? And then the koan. So Secho's verse now goes like this. The wild duck! What? How and where? Basso is seen, talked, taught, and exhausted the meaning of mountain clouds and moonlit seas. But Joe, which is the nickname for Hyakujo, but Joe doesn't understand, quote, has flown away. Flown away? No, he is brought back. Say, say! So this is Secho's verse. So this wild duck, this continuous flow of experiences, events, problems, difficulties, things we like, things we don't like, all sorts of sensory experiences. What, how, and where? Constantly caught up in these questions. Why? Why me? Why did that not stay? Why did it leave? Why did she have to die? all these questions that torment us as human beings, and they're natural. They're natural. But are we missing something? Something behind? Something that has no particularities, that doesn't come or go, that isn't born and doesn't die, and that is very intimate, that is continually there, that you never not know, that's never apart from this life, not even for a microsecond, but is not noticed because we are engrossed in the events, the ever-changing events of our life. This is a very important aspect of what our Zen training is doing, is to enable us in and through these changing experiences to see that which doesn't change, that which is fundamental. So then Secho goes on and says, Basso has seen, talked, taught, and exhausted the meaning of mountain clouds and moonlit seas. He has taught Yakujo very carefully. He has never stopped teaching, even in their walk in these woods. The meaning, so-called meaning of mountain clouds and moonlit seas. You see the sea churning, but there's moonlight. So we need to know that there is the changing events of the world and the shining of the fact of the world. In other words, it's not simply what things are, where they went, where they're going, but it's that they are, that they present, that they are known, that they appear. This is the critical aspect of what we call mindfulness practice. So he said, but Joe, Yakujo, doesn't understand, has flown away, with air quotes. Flown away? No, he is brought back. This is he that is brought back through, as we know in the events of the case, a nose getting twisted. What is the he that is brought back? Awoken, so to speak. And the last words of Secho are, say, don't hesitate. Don't stop and think. It has to be spontaneous, immediate. You have to catch it. This is what Zen practice is about. So it's a very wonderful koan dealing with the actual world and how the real is within the apparent. So this would be second rank, the real within the apparent world constantly changing. But the real, in other words, the fact of the world, its reality, is embedded in it, dissolved in it, always there, never apart from you for one moment. So that's a very wonderful koan, and we'll end there tonight.